Welcome back. You're with Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There was quite a turnout at the recent New Broadcasting Futures conference staged in Wellington by the Ministry of Culture and Heritage. TVNZ and TV3 sent heavyweight teams and regulators, producers and telecommunications types converged on Te Papa for the two-day talkfest. Barely there at all, though, was one major player, Sky TV, which is in 42% of New Zealand homes. That's because the undercurrent of the conference was about everything but Sky. In particular, it was about free-to-air TV working out how it has a future. On the first morning of the conference, the director of the Freeview digital TV platform, Steve Browning, summed up the dilemma with this example of the way free-to-air audiences are falling away.
Let's take Shorten Street as an example. In 1999, Shorten Street, on average, every night of the week, reached 621,000 viewers aged 5 plus. 2007, it's reaching 465,000. That's a loss of 25% of its audience. Now, that's still a mass audience, and I suppose it's my job here to persuade you that still a mass audience at free-to-air is where it's at, but that's a significant loss, and you see why it creates a challenge for the free-to-air broadcasters.
The hope is that Freeview will keep free-to-air TV in the game and prevent Rupert Murdoch's Sky from being the digital TV gatekeeper. That's what happened in Britain, where Freeview now has more viewers than Sky, and the government is looking to switch off analogue broadcasting as soon as 2010. The conference closed with a session called Where's the Beef?, where TV3 programmer Kelly Martin acknowledged how hard it's going to be to stock two extra Freeview channels without, until the audience reaches a critical mass, then bringing in any more money. Unlike TVNZ, TV3 doesn't have $80 million in new government funding to play with.
So MediaWorks is wrestling with the thorny issue, and Rick referred to this yesterday, of what new channels we should launch on the Freeview platform. The core question for us is how we can monetise these channels, or at the very least, how do we launch channels that in the medium to long term are positive, have got a positive commercial prospect. So far we've got questions and possibilities and some no definitive answers and no firm decisions. And the main problem is that we're commercially driven and there's no money to be made out of Freeview for us, and there won't be until audiences grow, and that could be a while. There are some obvious options. Plus One channels have been very successful in other markets. The costs would be reasonably low. We already run a successful music-based channel, C4. That's number one. Yeah. Challenge. We've discussed offering HD as a channel option. And when we do talk about selling more set-top boxes, we always come back to one obvious solution, which I think Vodafone are onto now too, which is adult content, because we do see that that would have boxes walking out the door.
No pun intended.
Thank you. Whatever we decide to do, we will be looking carefully at how these new offerings can build on our core business, because for us, the best use of internet and spin-off channels will still be as marketing tools for TV3 and for C4. But not marketing in what is the traditional sense of the word. We can use new platforms to drive viewers back to the television, particularly for launching new projects. And it's fair to say that we've still got a long way to go in exploiting all of those opportunities. To summarise, 3 points. We intend to continue to commission the best local content for 3 and increasingly for C4, and it's critical that New Zealand On Air retain a key role. Moving forward, we need to create new business models with the production sector, which take into account challenges of providing quality local content across multiple platforms, and we haven't made any firm decisions about our Freeview channel.
In the same session, South Pacific Pictures CEO John Barnett also looked at the pressure on TV as we know it.
We live in a very tiny market. We need the intervention of New Zealand On Air and that structure to ensure that the at-risk programs will stay uppermost in the viewer's mind and will be the ones that are the most accessible. So if New Zealand On Air puts its money, or TVNZ puts its money into the intervention process, I think we can create an environment which is very, very interesting for all of us. The policy of doing this is not just to keep the producers happy, but it's also a government and social need. And, you know, you could look at a TV 1, 2, 3, 4 scenario in a few years' time where foreign programming was not the key element on the network's nightly shows, partly because the telcos might have outbid it so that they could sell Desperate Housewives for a dollar, download while they can sell some other telephone services as well, or Sky might have bought those things. But the point of difference about the New Zealand networks would be the New Zealand content. And almost every other country in the world, local content is the key driver. And, you know, we live in an environment where yes, you can see anything from anywhere, but Barry just said he was feeling tired, and I said, if you're feeling tired, the last thing you'd want to be doing is sitting up all night downloading stuff from the BBC. It just, you know, in my view, I don't think it works like that. I think that the New Zealand content is something that we know New Zealand viewers watch, and most New Zealand viewers who watch television actually aren't buzzing off to see the latest episode of some obscure program.
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
CSI.
Sorry. CSI. You don't have to watch it as it comes out in America. You know, I think there are programs that you can sell. I think you could sell Dancing. I think you could sell Idol. You could sell programs that don't have a New Zealand On Air subsidy or a charter subsidy. I think it's possible to say that they could be offered first as a purchase and then at free to air. But as I say, I think that the New Zealand genres are definitely at risk. But the question is, another point that's been talked about today is, and over the last few days, is you make the stuff, you put it out on the net, and people will find it, and it's great, and it's democratisation. I say bollocks. I mean, people will never find it. You know, I'll tell you about a group of producers who couldn't get mainstream distribution, and they wanted to keep their integrity, and they set up their own distribution, and they made it available to their market, and it's not television, it's the people who sell T-shirts in the Wellington market across the road every weekend. The fact is, no one knows they're there, apart from their friends and family and a few people that pass by. And there are millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of hours of product on servers and on the net and all this. You're not going to find New Zealand product unless it's had some kind of profile. And so for us to contemplate that, it isn't just a matter of producing it. It's actually a matter of letting the whole world know that it's there. And I think that there was a point that Jason Paris made, which he said, when he said that the titles that are most used on demand are the titles which have already had the biggest audiences. And you can't get away from this. You know, only it's great to think about a server with 4,000 or 40,000 movies on it, but go into your local DVD store. They've got 4,000 movies. Ask them what their 90% of their business is, and it's 25 titles. And next month, it's the next 25 titles that have been in the cinema. And the long tail is terrific, and the long tail is great for the aggregator who will make money out of it. But for each of us, and, you know, I've got movies that have been around for 20 and 30 years, I can tell you the sums of money that come back are tiny on these movies. Yeah, it's nice to get it, but that's not where our business is going to be that I can see in New Zealand. I think we are going to require the free-to-air television channels will be the promoters of our product, and everything else will be ancillary, and it comes from that. And so I'm over 55, so I don't know what's going on, but apparently, yeah. So that's my roundabout. I've got one other quote which I thought was great, which was, can television really hope to claw back younger audiences? Sure, they can start tomorrow if they want. Audiences of any age will be back as soon as the quality improves. The younger the audience, the sooner they'll be back. All that's needed is some really imaginative, innovative programs and the editorial judgment, bravery and money to make them happen. And I think we see that here, and I think that you know, we can bring audiences back.
Of course, digital TV isn't only going to be about the big players, and in some ways the most intriguing new channel on Freeview this year will be Stratos, a new nationwide channel to be launched in October by the Auckland access broadcaster Triangle. We'll talk to Triangle CEO Jim Blackman after the break.